I believe every person wants to be happy. At the core, all of our actions are motivated by a longing for genuine well-being. Our own well-being and joy have the capacity to awaken those qualities in others around us, becoming a gift to everyone we meet. A quote from my dear friend and guest here in the studio, James Barras, one of my beloved Buddhist teachers, mm-hmm. and the guy who is on retreats always there with his guitar, and who also founded, had this idea, and he told, you said this once at a retreat, James, welcome, very glad to see you.
Hello, Chris.
You said once on a retreat that you decided that that's what you wanted to do with your life, was you wanted to make people happy, other people happy. And it was one of the things that brought you to Buddhist studies way back when you were teaching or something.
Oh, well, actually, that story, if it's when you're referring to that, I sometimes tell in the joy course that I teach, happened when I was in college and I was going through my own existential crisis and life didn't mean anything, and I was getting very depressed and reading a lot of Camus and Sartre, and for a few months life didn't have any meaning, and what happened was I was there in the Queen's College cafeteria one day after a few months of this kind of perspective, and looked out at
self-imposed darkness. Yes.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, I was deep at least.
Yes.
You know? Confused but deep.
Yeah.
And I looked out at the sea of humanity, and it occurred to me that everybody in that huge cafeteria just wanted to be happy, and that I thought, well, you know, well, maybe if we could bring a little bit more happiness to others, that would give life meaning. Because I was searching for meaning. A man's search for meaning is what Viktor Frankl says. And I thought, oh yeah, well that might do it. And I didn't know how I was going to be happy.
Stand-up comedy didn't spring to mind.
If I had the talent, maybe, but I couldn't
now
go
there.
Now
your mother.
My mother would be as she is a star. Then I said, I don't know how, but it would be wonderful to find happiness for myself, and maybe I could bring it to others. So that was a landmark moment.
Yes, yes, indeed. That was the impression I definitely got when I first heard that story on a retreat. And that was before you ever came up with what we're here to talk about, which is the Awakening Joy class. Awakening Joy is a class that James developed to do just that, Buddhist or whatever. And he started it in his home, and it grew and grew and grew, and it's been on O Magazine, it was on Bill Gates' blog, it was a bit talked about on the Huffington Post, which he writes in the Huffington Post as well, and you started it officially in 2003, is that it?
Yeah.
And so here, 2015, my goodness. And so this is the next course is starting, and of course it's evolved over the years to include other people, but it has the same themes, I think, it looks like.
Yeah, well, what I did was I'd been teaching and a student of Buddhist philosophy for many years, and as I sometimes say, I got very serious about my practice, dead serious about my practice, emphasis on the dead. And I lost my joy for a while. And then when I kind of came back to seeing, oh, this is about being true to myself, whatever my concepts or ideas, or I wanted to see what did the teachings have to say about true happiness. And as I explored them, there's beautiful, beautiful teachings about how to actually practice, not just on the cushion, but in one's life, greater well-being. And I took some teachings and the ones that really made sense to me and just tried out my theories and came out with a book and a course. And
There's a book of the same name based on the course. Indeed.
Awakening Joy. And, and it seems to work. It's worked for
I'm remembering a quote from the Dalai Lama. Someone asked him, you know, the meaning of life, and he said, well, what we are supposed to be doing in this life is to be happy.
The first line, the opening line in his book, The Art of Happiness, is the purpose of life is to be happy. And if you let that land, just think about that. The purpose of life is to be happy. It's a very profound thing because it seems kind of self-indulgent or selfish, but really, if you find where true happiness lies inside of you and you fully awaken it, then what a gift to the world. Then all of the beauty and the gifts that you've been given shine through in an unobstructed way, and that can't help but awaken that in others.
Of course, when I think of that, I think, yeah, well, it's not easy to be happy. You can think, okay, all I have to do is be happy is quit working and go lie on a beach somewhere. But really, with the Buddhist principles, which of course is where the Dalai Lama is coming from and where James Barras, our guest here in the studio, is also coming from, is that it involves doing the right thing. That's the only way to be happy.
It's first knowing where happiness really lies.
And so that's not at the local candy store.
Exactly. That's the first discernment. Okay, where does it lie? And in the teachings, it's talked about as these wholesome, uplifting states like kindness and generosity and compassion and all of those states. They're called wholesome or healthy states, kusala in the teachings, that are expansive of heart, that are different from the states of suffering, akusala, like greed, hatred, delusion, fear, all of those that we know so well.
And when
well.
You think of greed or fear, you can feel yourself just automatically
contraction,
squeezing, you know,
yeah,
pulling in.
So you find out where happiness really lies, and he said you can cultivate it. Not only cultivate it, but when you have an experience of well-being, he said, and this is a radical understanding, that it's good to maintain and increase those wholesome states. So people might think, oh, well, then am I supposed to say, bring it on? How do I get more? The tricky part is that the more you want it, the more you are grasping after it, you've just fallen into an unwholesome state. So the trick is to, rather than want more or be attached or be afraid that it's going to go, is to be really present for those moments of well-being when they're here. And that's what gives them life. Because mostly we are inclined to see what's wrong, and our brain scans the horizon, the amygdala, that little almond-shaped cluster of neurons in our brain, scans for what's wrong, and it takes practice to not only see what's right, but to let ourselves really rest in those feelings of openness and uplift, and to be very present, not just in your mind, but in your body. That starts to change your neural pathways and to incline towards more wholesome states naturally. So you're shifting your default setting with takes practice.
You've just referred to some of the very latest scientific findings about how the brain works and neurons and all that stuff. And James and his class always has guest speakers, and many of them come from that particular scientific community that is investigating how the mind works on a chemical and electrical and physical level.
Yeah. Oh, this coming course, as we've had before, there's Dacher Keltner, who runs the Greater Good Science Center, who, you know, he wrote a book called Born to Be Good, and the Greater Good Science Center, it's a great website, by the way, UC Berkeley. Just, you know, all of this research on well-being. So he's a guest, as he has been before. He's fantastic. Rick Hansen, who's a big name these days in neuroscience, he's going to be a guest speaker. And Carol Pertofsky, who runs the Stanford Wellness Center, who's taken the course a few times and who's just a real beautiful, big-hearted woman. So it's not just airy-fairy stuff. There's science that's backing this up.
And it's not just you personally and your personal happiness, although recognizing that and sharing, it's about what happens when you notice that and own it and feel it. It's contagious. It's infectious.
Yeah, that's the point. This is not just a self-indulgent program. This is a gift that you give to everybody else. If you're in a room with somebody and they're feeling depressed or anxious or fearful, you might have compassion for them, but they won't ignite a feeling of real uplift and well-being. But if you're around somebody who is naturally at ease within themselves and has enough energy to look at who you are and be interested in you and be beaming you with love and goodwill, how could it not help but awaken that at least to some extent in you? So it is contagious. Yeah.
And that's certainly what parents dream of being able to do all the time for their children, is to just send that forth. And you can't always. You get conflicted by and contracted by the things that go on in your day-to-day life. And that's where something like Awakening Joy can really be of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new course coming up starting the 27th of January.
Mm. That's for the live class in Berkeley. And then,
talk about that. Because it's gone global.
Oh yeah, there's many more people do it online than do it live. There's a whole Awakening Joy Australia group that's out in New Zealand and in Europe and all that. That's one of the amazing things about
modern
contagious technology, right? And there's groups that form that have, you know, just I get so tickled that there's groups all over, including prison groups. There's a lot of prison groups that do it.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so you can do it online as well, and that you just that starts in February, and all the classes are videoed and audioed, and I send out a practice letter and to go along with the principles.
Should they come
from
out
the book.
Once a month, your practice letters, or
no? Every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from the online course is February through mid-June, and every 2 weeks there's a different a different theme that has a practice letter, and we have the live classes here in Berkeley every 2 weeks. And
you can access the videos of those classes. That's what you were saying online.
Yeah, you sign up, and there's a modest suggested donation, but everybody is welcome, and finances shouldn't be an obstacle, because whatever you can or want to offer as an alternative to the suggested fee is fine. I just want to share it with as many people as
And I want to, in the interest of full disclosure, say that I've taken this class several times. I don't know if it's seven or not, but several times, and I'm going to take it until I pass it.
Well, it's all about practice. That's the point. The Buddha said what we frequently think and ponder upon becomes the inclination of our minds. Or in modern neuroscience says, neurons that fire together wire together. So this is all about wiring your brain in the right direction, so there's grooves instead of ruts. And
James Barraz, our guest in studio, Baraz is his last name. You can sign up for the course at www.awakeningjoy.info. And I want to go back to what you said about people taking this class in prisons.
Mm, oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I can see how wonderful that would be, but it must be mind-boggling for people to hear this Awakening Joy in prison.
Well, the first time somebody
said, dangerous.
I thought, you know, that might be a real stretch, but a few people said, I'd like to bring this to the people that I work with. So there's a lot of people who do beautiful prison work, and the most actually, I put it in the the paperback version of the book. It's in the introduction where I share this story that somebody on the East Coast said, I work with prisoners, want to use your book, and can you get a bunch of books for us? So I said, yeah, and I got them about 35 books. And at the end of the course, they didn't do it online because prisoners can't do it online, but they went through the book and the material, and I got this amazing booklet, which is my prized possession, with beautiful art, and each of these guys saying how much this has touched their life. And as a follow-up, I was just so moved. But a couple of years ago, I was teaching with my colleague Tara Brock on in the D.C. area, and I thought, oh, wow, that Jessup prison, it's right near there. So I called and or emailed, and I said, hey, I'm going to be out in your area. Would it be... would you like to say hi? I want to meet some of you guys. And they were very excited. And I went. It was the high point of my trip. I went there, and besides the 35 who'd taken the course, and I have a picture of everyone holding up a book, there were another 150 prisoners, inmates. We spent about 3 hours together until the guards finally said, okay, that's enough of this joy stuff. Let's get out of here. And it was a love fest, and it was so beautiful. These guys, one guy said after 31, he wrote in the booklet, after 31 years of being in prison, it's sometimes really hard to see the light. And I know that it's possible, and all kinds of testimonies like that. Mm-hmm. It was so moving mm-hmm. to be with these guys and see them in person. The heart is, the beauty in the heart is waiting to come out if it has the right conditions.
James Beres, well, now I feel like it's time to talk about some of these monthly themes to sort mm-hmm. of then think about how these would sit with people in prison or people outside of the walls of prison, but maybe in the prisons of their own minds and their own difficult lives.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
The prisons of the what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And our reactions there, too. We'll get to that, too. But so let's just run through some of the themes.
Okay.
You'll get a practice letter on each one of these
on
themes.
On each one, mm-hmm. starting with intention, the intention to place well-being and happiness at the center of your life, which is a radical act for many, which also includes the wider intention of what you're going to, not just for yourself, but how you can contribute to the world, but a wise intention. Then mindfulness, being present for your life, which is the key to true well-being as far as in waking up. Gratitude, opening up to gratitude, the grateful heart, see how blessed we are. Opening up to our difficulties, because truly happy people are not happy all the time. They feel they're grieving deeply, and they feel their pain deeply, but they're not overwhelmed by it. So learning how to hold all the inevitable difficulties in life, integrity, acting aligned with our values, letting go of our thoughts, of our stories, of our stuff, loving ourselves, which is a key shift, really getting who you are, who others see you, even when you don't see yourself that as the beautiful person that your friends see, connecting with others, loving others, and feeling the joy of sharing that love, which also includes forgiveness for the ways that people disappoint you. Compassionate action, that is expressing your caring in the world. And then finally, the joy of being, just simply being, where you're not trying to make anything happen, but just letting the goodness of life shine through you without obstruction.
So if you think you could use some lessons and some guidance and some practice in any of or all of those areas, which I always think I can do, sign up at www.awakeningjoy.info. Awakening Joy, all one word, .info. And the book Awakening Joy is also available now in paperback as well.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But let me ask you, so I've been reading all of this stuff. I thought, okay, good, I'm going to have James here. And this piece happened to have been in Truth Out, and it's written by Jeffrey Rubin, and he says he's a psychoanalyst, longtime student, now teacher of meditation. And he called this piece The Mindfulness Craze, and he's talking about the shadow side of the mindfulness revolution. And as a therapist, he's saying, well, there stuff will come up with people, and mindfulness alone or meditation isn't going to deal with their psychological problems. But But that's just one thing. Then in Parade magazine, which comes in the Sunday paper last Sunday, was all about mindfulness. And, you know, and I can see where Buddhists would think, excuse me, that's not the real mindfulness that you're doing. And my brother did TM, Transcendental Meditation, way back when he first came back from Vietnam. He found it very helpful. So it seems to be like...
It's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
Mindfulness is the new yoga, it says here. Google mindfulness, you'll get over 24 million hits.
Yeah.
Is
yep.
this good?
I think so. At least it gets people to even value being aware. Better that than go sleepwalking through life. And it plants a lot of seeds. And right now, mindfulness is being taught in schools and lots of different places. But kids, I was just watching a video yesterday of some kids who were saying, you know, how this has changed their life. Just learning to pause and for a moment connect inside, and how radical and beneficial it is. So mindfulness can't hurt. However, there is something about it can go much deeper than just being stress reduction. And what sometimes the criticism is if it's just for people to become more efficient in business or in their work, it's not seeing the bigger picture. However, it's a start, and the bigger